Like my favorite evangelist always says, let's give one to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He deserves all the praise, all the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. You may be seated. I tell you, this is the hardest thing for me to do. As I sat there, just like the anticipation kept going and getting more nervous, like, come on, let's go. Because I'm just sitting there, just a lot of things going in my mind. Start trembling. But I know it's not about me, it's about Jesus Christ. I'm here to be used as a vessel. I'm here to hopefully to encourage you, to lift you up, to charge you, to continue on going in this walk that we have, that we call followers of Christ. That our eyes and our hearts be focused on Him and Him alone, despite our circumstances, despite what might arise, despite of challenges, despite of doubt. Sometimes we doubt sometimes. We question God sometimes, but despite of that, if we fix our eyes on Christ, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly, whatever you may think or ask, according to that power that He's given us. I want to share with you today, they asked me for a title of the message, and I was like, oh, you really stumbled me right there. Like a title? I'm not that good in title my message. But Richard and Brother John, I think, or Andrew approached me. And I said, following Christ wholeheartedly. That's my message for today. And I'm going to go into the book of Joshua, chapter 14. And bear with me, because this is hard. This is really, really hard. Hallelujah. Just before we go there, I just want to share a quick testimony. I was speaking to Matilda yesterday, my wife, and I said, I really would like for you to share a testimony of what God has done in your life, so I could prolong my time. Because I could be here maybe 20 minutes and I'm done. And I know you guys will probably appreciate that. But she said, no, I can't do it. Okay, all right. But just want to share something that when me and my wife, we went through, you know, some things arose. I'm really happy that I have a church that really cares. A church that really loves, just like Brother Charles was saying, love your neighbors. I have a church that really, when someone's down, someone's hurting, someone's missing something, people just show up automatically. I love this church. Matilda told me, she said, you know, Nina, her sister, was there. But Matilda told me that the church really stepped up more than her family did and my family did. Sister Fran, Sister Icy, Sister Judy, Sister Nita, and anyone I might name or forget, I thank you for your time. I thank you for encouraging my wife. Brother Richard, thank you. My wife really appreciated it. And she's appreciated it to this day. She doesn't get up and talk as much, but I thank you. Because your guys were there. Your guys spoke to her. Your guys moved her. And challenge her to look at herself and not look at me. And the same thing with me, not look at me. Look at myself and not look at her. So I thank you for that. Joshua 14. Let me go back a little bit before we go into what we're going to read about. In Numbers 13 and 14, talks about when God told Moses to take his people out of Israel, from Egypt, and they started to wander in the wilderness. And then God told them to get 12 spies of every tribe of Israel. And God told Moses, go see the land that I'm going to give you. It's full of, it's flowing with milk and honey. It's in abundance. It's a great land. It's a land that I'm promised to give to you. And Moses did as the Lord sent. And he sent God 12 men, the tribes of Israel, send them out to spy out the land. And as they spy out the land, they saw that the land was rich, flowing with milk and honey. It was a land with abundance. It was a land of just a wonderful land. But they also saw that they had giants, they say. Giants who were guarding the city was fortified, it says. It says there was definitely flow of milk and honey, but there was giants in the land. They also knew, Moses told them, and as evidence, bring us a bushel of grapes, so that, because it was the time of the harvest. And they went and they grabbed a bushel of grapes and they brought it back to Moses. As they start giving the report to Moses, they confirm what God told them, that the land was bountiful, was plentiful. It was a land truly growing, a land full of milk and honey. But there were 10 of them who said, yes, that is so true. It's so true. But we can't conquer this land. This land is full of giants. This land is just too hard. It's just too fortified for us to take it. Sometimes we do that sometimes when God calls us to do something or he's giving us something. We look at the negative, then the positive. And the positive should be God said. God said he's with us. We'll be able to take it. So as they started murmuring and complaining about they can't do it, they can't do it, they saw, the Bible says that they saw themselves as grasshoppers in their own sight, and the giants saw them as grasshoppers. So they already had a defeated mind already. They could not believe it, they could take it. But there were two men, Joshua and Caleb. And they said that if God is with us, we know we can take this land. God has promised us this land. We can definitely overtake him. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? There's nothing that could, the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. It's already done. We got to take that word and that promise that God has given to us and make it so alive and make it so, just make up. I think Sister Camille was saying that God taking us to a different level. We got to make up our mind. We got to make up, be in our heart, following God wholeheartedly, saying, yes, this is my promise. And then the people wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. They wanted to stone them because they were bold. They took God's word for what it was. God's word. They wanted to stone them. Let's kill them. Let's get rid of them. These guys are lunatics. You know? These guys are crazy. There's no way we can take it. But out of despair and anger and frustration, the Bible says that they tore off the robe, their robes, as a sign. Oh, if we could only just get this, we could take this land, we could dominate this land because God is with us. And then we could go to, I'm going to try to stay to my notes as much as possible. I tell you, I was Friday, Saturday, I was practicing my message in the shower. I was talking out in the shower. But started raining. All right. Joshua 14. Verse 6. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jeb Newhan, the Kennysites, Brother Kenny, said to him, you know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I don't know why I picked this text, but big words. Here's Joshua giving the land out. Giving out the land that God has promised them. He's giving it out, handing it out to all the tribes, to the people. And it says, verse 7, this is Caleb. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word back to him as it was in my heart. Now, this is Caleb again saying, okay, Joshua, you're giving out the land. I'm going to remind you that I was there with you. I'm going to remind you that I was the only one out of the 10 that were there, agreed with you that we could take this land. And he says, I was 40 years old when, so, and he was 40 years old, here he comes later in life. And it says, verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed my God wholeheartedly. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land of which your foot has trodden shall be inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. And now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years. So now he's 85 years old. From that time that the Lord spoke to this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and behold, I am 85 years old today. Verse 11. I am still as strong today as I was in the days of Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. You see how God's word, if you take God's word for what it is, you see how bold you can stand, how bold and confident you can stand, knowing that nothing, no matter what has gone through, we don't know what, I was trying to look it up in the computer, see what, how did he spend his 45 years after he was promised. What was he doing? What was he doing? Let's just imagine he was just doing about his everyday life. Keeping moving, whatever. If he was a shepherd, he was shepherding. Whatever he was doing, he just kept on doing. But there was something inside that, you know what, if he was cutting grass, I said, you know what, one day, this land that I'm stepping on right now is going to be mine. If he was a shepherd, he was shepherding, this is going to be mine. This is all going to be mine. Because he had a heart. He said, the Bible says he had a different spirit. That means that we should desire a different spirit like Caleb had. We should have a spirit that drives us, that just urges us, just encourages us, just lifts us up, that no matter what is going on, that we can continue, because that spirit, that different spirit, is stirring us up, is pushing us, is leading us. You know that God's promises are for us to take and to eat each and every day, that no matter what, no matter what, how long, no matter what we do, the mistakes we do, they're going to come to pass, no matter what. It took Noah 120 years to build the ark. You think about it, as just as normal people, just as everyday people, you think about it, he's building the ark. He's just building it. But there's something in his heart. There's something in his mind. He's saying, I can't wait. This boat's going to flow one day. This boat's going to carry me and my family. He's building it. He's just like, ooh, let's go. Let's go. As I was reading, I was preparing. On Sunday, Pastor was talking about, last week Sunday, he talked about smug. Not being smug or smugly. Or not being content. Oh no, was it complacent? Complacent. And he was asking questions about if a believer could become hard-hearted. And many people said, no, he can't. But I believe a Christian could be prideful. I believe a person could be prideful. That no matter what the Word of God says, that's not for me. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. Bible says that he gives grace unto the humble. But he resists the proud. So we could be believers and be proudful. And at the same time, God is just resisting us. That's what the Word says. That God is just resisting us. He wants us to come a place of humility. Before honor is humility. He wants us to get to that place that we can say, you know what? What you call, Lord, you gave me this promise. I can't deal without you. If your spirit does not go with me, I cannot go. And not being satisfied with some more experience or the big experience that you have in the past. Because there's always so much more. Paul always said, I love what Paul said. He says, I press towards the goal and to the high goal that I may know him and the power of his might. Moses saw God in the burning bush. Moses talked with God. But he was always continuing, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. Because, you know, he desired more of God each and every day. God is too powerful for us to just limit him and put him in a box. And what we have experienced in the past, that's it. This is it. Okay, that's it. No, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage myself. I want to encourage my family to keep seeking after God. He says, if you seek, you will find. If you ask, it will be given. If you knock, it shall be open. I'm going away from my message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, I was practicing my message, and I was in the shower, and I said, oh, I wish I had a paper right now to write it down. And then when I get in the shower, I'm like, oh, I forgot what I said. Oh my gosh. And then I'm dead, I'm driving, and there's a thought coming to my, oh. I mean, when, and I approached Pastor Sunday morning, and I just wanted to share something about what he was sharing. He said, get ready for next Sunday, you'll preach. I said, but, and you know what? As I was standing there, Pastor was ministering last Sunday, I know that God said, look at Caleb to me that Sunday. Look at Caleb, how he followed me wholeheartedly. How he did no way in doubt, didn't believe. He just totally believed God. Like I said, it took Noah, 120 years to build the ark. Abraham was promised a son. It took him 13 years to get his son Isaac. The Bible said that at a set time, Isaac was born. Genesis 14, I believe, verse 2. At a set time, Isaac was born. So whatever God has for you and me is at a set time. It's not for us to say when or why or who or what. It's at a set time. We go out by Ephesians 5:15 says that we should live circumspectly. That means with a purpose. To continue on. doing what we're doing about, but with a hunger and with a thirsty and that promise that God has given us many promises here. Some of us, He's given us to be business owners. Some of us to be evangelists. Some of us, He's given many different things that God has given us. This day, God wants you to pick that promise that you put on the side and just put it back in your heart. And follow and say, Lord, this is what you said when I was 5 years old, when I was 12, when I was 1 year ago. God wants you to take that promise and just bring it back to Him and say, Lord God, this is what you promised me. And God has promised as parents, as fathers, as mothers, God has promised us things for our children. And whatever God is giving you, let your children know. So when they grow up, they can say, this is what you promised my daddy. This is what you promised my mom. So they could continue to seek God. See? As I was, a lot of scripture came to mind. And I was saying, you know what? Wow, Caleb really followed God. God. He really followed God with all his heart, mind, and soul. He really loved his God. And then I wrote down, he said, he understood, this is talking about Caleb, he understood that they that waited upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. He knew that he's continued to wait on God. There was a charge. There was something going on. He said, he just kept them going. He said, I am 85 years old and I am stronger today than I was back then. Why? Because his strength was being renewed. Those 45 years he was waiting on the promise of God. It was renewed. He was willing to go fight at 85 years old. And you know what? If you continue to read, he did fight. And he did conquer the land that was given to him at 85 years old. He knew that they who know their God shall do great exploits. He knew that. He was convinced. Just like Abraham. Loved the way they described it, but he was fully persuaded that what God said, he was able to do. Even though he tried to help God with his, that sounds good. And he never said, his wife said, let's, maybe, you know, my maid maybe give you the child. He never said, No, he's like, okay, let's do it. Because maybe he thought that was the way. But we know that was not the way it was meant to be. Sometimes we try to do the same thing in our lives. We try to help God in certain things. I know I did. Last year I did. Last year, as many of you know, I started my business. And I mean, I started off good. I was like, Lord, I know you're going to do this, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just praised and worshiped him. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. And then all of a sudden, oh, wait a second. Maybe I should do this. And I hear the PR other people saying, you should do this. And then I started trying to do things on my own. And that's when kind of failed. Because I was listening to what everybody else was saying. See how I speak for myself, we go up and down sometimes. But I'm telling you, I mean, I've been serving the Lord. I gave my life here in Victory 10 years ago. I was sitting in that chair over there, more than 10, probably 11. And I remember I was so hungry that day. I was like, wow, this is, and you know what? I was experiencing so much good stuff coming out before I even knew Christ. And I said, you know what? My mom always took me to church. I didn't know anything about church. I was never ministered to. I never knew anything about it. I mean, I went there gradually, but once, like I said before, I grew two hairs in my chest, became a man, I left. But you know what? God in His grace and His mercy brought me back to Him. And I remember when I gave my life to Christ here in Victory, I had to tell my mom. And first thing I told my mom, you know what, Mom, you trained me in the way I should go. And I'm back. I praise the Lord for you, Mommy. All the time I tell her. You know, as I was growing up, as a child, my testimony, I was growing up as a child, people always told me, you never amount to anything. People told me, Junior, your mom don't love you. My grandfather, my grandmother, my aunts, my uncles, your mom don't love you. Because my mom left me in Puerto Rico. I was born in Puerto Rico at 6 years old. And she took my other brother with her and came to the Bronx where we were raised. And they always said that to me. And I always thought about it, because why did she leave me? And I was shot in the head in Puerto Rico. I was in a coma for 8 months. And I heard when I came out, your mommy don't love you. But you know what? I remember people telling me all these things. But you know, as I learned the things of God, people just don't know what they're saying most of the time. And I know that in Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans and thoughts I have for you, and to give you an expected end. Just like he gave Caleb, he's talking to the Israel people, but it's also for us as followers of Christ. He said, to give you an expected end. You know, this is expected end. It's just driving me, and I'm praying that my family continues, that we continue to seek God, that no matter what's going on, like Paul says, rejoice always. We could just laugh at situations and keep pressing forward, because God is in control. God has given us His word for us to hold on, to carry us. And I say carry us because I believe that the word of God, as according to the scriptures, that the word of God could keep us alive until that promise is fulfilled. Because if we look at it, we hear the story about Simeon. And I'm just going way ahead of my notes. And Simeon, in the book of Luke, I believe it is. I'm looking up here. If I find it, I'll let you know. Yeah, Luke chapter 2, verse 25. It says that, it talks about Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel. God has promised him that he would see the Messiah before his death. God's word kept him alive. The expectancy of it drove him through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, this is another man that went to the temple each and every day, knowing that God promised him that he would see the Messiah, the deliverer of Israel, before he died. And as soon as the Messiah is born, the mom and dad bring him to the temple, as it is custom, on the eighth day. I believe it's eighth day. Forgive me if I said that. I don't know. I'm not sure. Eighth day. But brings it to the temple. And he's overjoyed. He's overwhelmed. He says, let me see that baby. This is the one I've been waiting for all my life. This is the one that's been promised to me to save me from my sin, to deliver me from the bondage of sin. This is the one. He lifts them up and says, Lord, here he is. Now let me depart and be with you. Because he saw the promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalms 138 verse 2 says, God have exalted his word above his name. God places his word above himself. Because God's word is all that matters. Now we could go. Did I finish reading? We could go. If you like, you just take it down. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are so surrounded with so great cloud of witness. Let me go there because I don't want to misquote it. It says, therefore, since we have so great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This tells us to lay everything that is hindering us running this course that God has placed us in. To lay every doubt, every fear, any problem we may be going through, to lay down. Any sin that is holding us back from continuing to run in this race. We know this sin is just missing the mark that God set for us. Sin is doing something totally opposite what God's. So whatever you may be doing is totally opposite from the promises God's giving to you, just put it aside. And today, I ask, like I said, I encourage that you fix your eyes on Christ. In Galatians, it says that, therefore, you started off whose eyes were fixed on Christ, but now you're trying to do it on your own, but in the flesh. That's what it talks about. So you started off good, but now you're trying to accomplish everything in the flesh. But today, fix your eyes on Christ, because he's the one who's going to fulfill his promises to you. You, when you come to the Lord, and you ask, Lord, thank him. And you say, Lord God, this is the promise that you have given me. This is what you said to me pertaining me and my family or whatever situation. I bring it before you. And you know what? I'm not going to look for my healing. I'm not going to look for my provision. I'm going to look unto Christ, who is my healer, who is my provider. Because if we're looking for a thing, we're missing the person who's able to do that for you. And we continue to look for the thing. Look, if it is, look, and it's not here, we're going to be just like the ten spies that went out. We're going to say what we see with our own eyes. And that really was in our own hearts. God is looking for people who are committed to him. God is looking for people who totally say, you know what? I'm going to follow you wholeheartedly. I'm going to continue persevering, continuing this walk that you called us, and this race that we're in, as we read Hebrews 12. Paul, in Corinthians, talks about that we are in a race, and many run in a race, but only one received the prize. They who endured to the end. Let us all chew for that prize. Let us all endure to the end. Let us all continue in this race, knowing that it's not my ability or your ability. It's God who works through us to accomplish what he set out to do in our lives. You know, we're watching the Olympics. Now, I don't know if anybody watched. I haven't really been watching it, but I just thought I'd bring it up because you know what's happening. But a lot of us, and in Paul's time, racing or running was the main attraction, what drew people in. That's what really was. Nobody cared about swimming. Nobody cared about basketball. They cared about running. They wanted to see who was the runner, the fastest person there. So Paul relates his message like for that. He knew that he would get people's attention, because they knew about racing. They knew about a marathon. This is a marathon that we're in. I'm going away from my notes. So I'm trying to go back. It's a message that we're not in a sprint. It's not for the guy who starts the fastest and just gives away, pulls a hammy. But to the guy that endures, that keeps on running, knowing that, you know what, I'm going to receive that prize. He knows, knowing that for sure, that that promise that God's given to him, it's going to be there to the end. I wrote down, don't give God a deadline. If you don't do it by tomorrow, Lord, I'm going to do it on my own. I give you to next week, Lord. Don't do that. I believe that Caleb never did that. I believe that Abraham never did that. I believe Noah never did that. I believe Simeon never did that. They just go about their business. And that great expectancy they had in their hearts drove them to do what they continue to do each day. I already quoted this, but I'm going to read it real quick. 1 Corinthians 9:24-26. Many run, but only one receives the prize. And then I also quoted Ephesians 5:15 says, the Amplified 5:15 King James says, walk circumspectly. The Amplified said, with purpose. You know, and another scripture I wrote, it says that Isaiah 40:8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Everything else is going to go away. But what it all comes down to is the Word of God standing there. The Word of God is going to be there no matter what. I also wrote, for the promise of God in Him are yes and in Him, amen. 2 Corinthians 2:1. And some promises I wrote. I'm almost done. See, I'm almost done. Romans 8:28. This is another promise that says that all things work for good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose. God has called every believer who has given their life to Christ and has given you a purpose. He's given you to fulfill in the body of Christ. Just like it is outreach, He's given us all a purpose. He's given us a purpose. And all things work for good to them who love God. Since we love God, that's a promise. Lord, I love you, so I know this is going to work out for good. Psalm 37:4. He promised to give us the desires of our heart if we commit and delight ourselves in Him. Hebrews 13:5 says He will never leave us nor forsake us. Philippians 4:15. My God shall supply all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My favorite one, Brother Richard, I believe he has this on his every time he sends his message. And this is the first time God ever spoke to me in an audible word. And this, I mean, when I first came, I started learning the kingdom, about the kingdom, how God provides for His people, how God desires to give us His best. I used to worry a lot, but now I worry a lot less. Because you know what? I have met Him, and I know Him, and I've experienced His word, and I've experienced His blessings, not to doubt Him anymore. And it says, Matthew 6:33, everybody should know this one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. All things. So if we're busy looking and seeking after God, that whatever we need is provided. Whatever we're lacking is provided. You know, we could be just like Solomon when God asked him, what do you want me to give you? What do you want me to give you? He didn't He didn't ask for himself. He said, Lord, give me wisdom that I may be able to deal with the people you have given me. So when we come to God, it should not be all about ourselves. It should be, how can we bless somebody else? And then whatever we're missing, whatever's lacking, it's going to just come in abundance. Luke 11:9 says, ask and it shall be given. Well, I said that before. Be given, seek and it shall be found. Knock and it shall be open. And now, Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly. That should just stir you up. That is every believer who know Jesus Christ personally, expectation. That one day we're going to see our Lord and Savior. And just like that song says, I could only imagine. Would I fall on my feet? Would I stand in awe? Would I weep? I'm a weeper. I'm totally a weeper. I mean, I asked Elder Yusino one day, I said, every time I just go into the presence of the Lord and read and pray, I just end up crying. Would this ever end? I mean, this is just like, oh my gosh. He said, yeah, it might end. It's been 12 years later, I'm still the same. Because you know what? I've experienced His love. I've experienced His touch. I have known God much more today than ever before. I know that whatever's going on, whatever He allowed me to go through, it's because I can bear it. Any temptation that comes my way, He's made a way of escape. God provided everything. Everything. I share a testimony, you know, I don't know how. Me and my wife been together 20... I know, I got to. Let me go back into the calendar. Wait, let me make sure. 24 years? I don't know, I might get beat up later. 24 years? Hallelujah. Together. And she could tell you, we've been through some stuff. In the beginning of our marriage, in the beginning of our relationship, we've been through some stuff. But you know what? God has kept us together because He has a purpose. I always tell my wife got a testimony, but she doesn't like to share. She says she gets really nervous, but one day she will. Because she knows that she really have experienced things of God. God has really spoken to her. God has really touched her. And I know that some of us here have testimonies they could share. I encourage you, share your testimony. Let the people know, because whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, someone needs to hear how God has delivered you out of it. Well, I'm done.